Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell, joined by my co-host as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. Mark, how you doing?
Down Under!
Down Under!
I had to bring it in straight away. I'm doing pretty well. I actually, on the weekend, this Friday, 2 days ago, there was the first time I could catch up with a mate of mine, had a few sherbets out near a place near us, Gosford, on the Central Coast, overlooking the water.
So my dad was born.
That's where I was born. Local. It's one of those places where you like to. Yeah, it's not the best looking place in Gosford, let's say. You know, the water's nice, but besides that, not much is going on. Nah, I don't think I've been back there maybe 10 times in my life, and it's about 20 minutes from me. But no, we had a good time. We had a good time out there, having a few drinks, a few beers. Good to see my friends again. You know, we're slowly getting out of this lockdown, and I'm still trying to get a haircut. But yeah, the week's been good, and it's been like a relaxing week, and we're in the Steelers bye week now, and we're not... I don't know. I feel pretty good being 3-3. How do you feel?
Yeah, like I think it's nice to go into the bye doing that. Like, and it means that we can talk a bit more positively today. We don't have to talk negative and how does Steelers come back from here and, you know, all the rest of it. So I think you know, we can be a bit more positive on this show. And I should gotta credit like the Behind the Steel Curtain listeners. And hopefully you're enjoying this bye week bonanza. But you know, we've had 35 to 20, you know, different people jump straight in. As soon as I hit the play button, there were 35 people sitting there wanting to listen to this. So, you know, I think that's pretty awesome when it's a bye week, you could be chilling out, doing something else or what have you, but people are still sitting here. You know, if you're listening live in the US, it's your Saturday evening. If you're on our side of the world, it's your Sunday morning. And then depending on where you are outside of that, you're somewhere in between. So it's fantastic to have everyone here and to be talking Steelers and to keep the season going. You know, and I think I listened a little bit to the preview with, you know, Jeff, Dave and Bad, and, you know, Bad was talking about the two buys they used to have. I can't imagine two buys in an 18 week season, but back then, yeah. I think it was a 12 or 14 week season. So, it's pretty interesting there from that perspective. But yeah, like as you said, you go into the buy, we're 3-3. Tomlin finds a way. He finds a way to keep that 500 record, right? No matter what. And hopefully that can continue this season. But I think as you said, Mark, you know, we've only had one divisional game as well. So this 3-3 is like, it's still anyone's game. And, you know, you saw the Broncos Browns, you know, the Broncos need a new quarterback. That's really clear. And it's a shame because that could have really helped the Steelers. But at the end of the day, regardless of what other teams do, the Steelers are going to have, like, where the Steelers finish is in their hands. It's in no one else's. If they play bad, they're going to finish bad. If they play well, then, you know, you've got to have a lot of, you know, poor luck to not come away with a positive result. So, yeah, but what I know that you had some feelings when we jumped on this morning, Mark, before we went live about the Broncos Browns. I guess that's kind of the latest news for us. So,
I watched the game or half of it and or you know, little bits of it here and there. I just didn't enjoy the football. The football was terrible. And, like, I'm not one of those guys that, you know, at the start of the week, this game's going to be a terrible game. Because as an Australian fan, whatever's on the TV, I try to enjoy because it's just something I've grown up with and enjoyed the gridiron and this player versus that player and the schemes and coaching. And I just love watching the game for what it is. No matter who plays, it could be the two worst teams playing. However, this game was really hard to watch. The Broncos couldn't do anything. The Browns had 20 players out or 10 players out. Two running backs were Hunt and Chubb was out. And that Dearness Johnson ran off for like 150 yards. Like he went crazy. And then they just, like, it was 17-14. It wasn't like a defensive stalemate where there were big plays. They just weren't executing on the offense on either side. Teddy's an okay quarterback, but he's just got no time. He's overthrowing players. He couldn't get in rhythm to second half. They couldn't run the ball with the Broncos. The Broncos couldn't help us out. And this game will reflect, and we might talk about it later, this game will reflect how the Steelers play the Browns next week. Because the Browns don't look very well, you know, oiled machine at the moment, do they?
Well, I mean, you know, and this is where the injuries come into play. I mean, even without the injuries, though, like Baker, you know, everyone knows that, sorry, you listener, I listen to a lot of, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks, and they've been talking about this for a while. It's like, is Baker Mayfield in the $40 million class of quarterback, right? And, you know, most people sit there and go, no, no, no. But the reality is that anyone that's signing a deal that's considered a you know, top half of the league in, at the position is going to get that sort of money going forward. And they were sort of saying, like, can he get them the wins? Can he push them further? But without him, like, Case Keenum, they're not going anywhere. So I think this Browns team is really interesting to watch for the Steelers because, you know, how the injuries, you know, going to affect them from the run game perspective, you know, if they're going to continue to have, you know, issues with Chubb and Hunt, they've got problems. Like, they are beatable. But I think, like a lot of teams, and we're going to talk about the rest of the Steelers season to come, we're going to, you know, revise our predictions of what the Steelers record might look like and where they might win and where they might lose. But I would suggest that, you know, when it comes to the Browns going forward, it goes down to the defense just as much as when we play the Ravens and just as much when we play the Bengals. How our defense plays is going to define the season. And I think that's at an elevated level when you're talking about the division. But I think we had a super chat from Shield 91, good mate of the show.
Shield.
He says, g'day mates, thanks for the cheers during my race. It was a much needed pick me up when I hit 20 miles. That was Mark. He finished in 3 hours and 21 minutes. Wow, that's awesome for your first
what,
only 3 hours marathon. I think he said it was his first, but anyway, that's a decent time.
Well, mate, nah, that's not good enough. We want 3 hours next time, Shield. All right, mate, you're gonna need to pick it up.
It's a pretty decent, mate. That's like a 10. That's a big improvement.
Nah, good on you, man.
I think you can chip off though. Actually, if you think about it, like, I reckon Shield can chip 15 minutes.
Well,
off that
that's the thing.
Next marathons.
The best thing when you start doing marathons or playing sport, just play absolutely terrible because then you can always improve. If you run that in 6 hours and 40 minutes, next time you could run it in 3 hours and it'd be like a, you know, 50% improvement.
Mate, and there you have, listeners, whether you're listening on the audio side or listening live, you now understand the attitude and philosophy of Daniel McCullers, Benny Snell Jr., and Akello Witherspoon. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Go really bad, and there's always improvement. That's what you have to do. It's like a psychological trip. Can I say one thing before we get into the show with the IBC?
Yeah, go for it.
We talked about Browns, right? I really hope they play OBJ. Because he's terrible. He is awful. He's an awful receiver. I hope they play him, and I hope that he struggles again. He didn't play very well against the Broncos. There were two or three times where OBJ, you know, used to do the one-hand catch here and there. He's just not this. He's just, I think he's overrated. And I hope we verse him, and I hope Joe Hayden lines up against him, and we have a, you know, we have a tremendous game against him. I think the Browns will hopefully struggle against our defense.
I think though as well, like, in fairness to him, I thought, you know, the picks that they gave up when they traded for him, like, I trading Julius Peppers, not Peppers, what's his name? The ex Michigan, the safety. I'm having him mentioned. Is it Julius Peppers? It's not Julius Peppers. His name escapes me right now. But I was surprised at exactly what they traded for him. But, Odell's not bad. I just think he's had so much rust. Like, he's played.
Go back and watch that Broncos game.
Oh, bad. I know. Like, but, I mean, people could say Claypool's terrible after the game that he played last week against
Fair
the
enough.
Seahawks. But look, Sean Manahan in the live chat says, what's your feeling on the last game we played? Did you notice Russell Wilson running onto the field while the clock was ticking down?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that. You look at the fact with what the refs did, which I love that Tomlin was so heated. I love Tomlin in the press conference. I hate it. Jabril Peppers. That's it. Jabril Peppers. Tomlin, I hated it. It was terrible. You know, I thank God someone's speaking up about this.
I have one question. We've covered that quite a bit. No, I didn't like that going to the refs either. That was terrible. One thing I have a problem with when I was watching the game a second time last night, why was Russell Wilson, I'm pretty sure it was Russell Wilson, on the coin toss?
Yeah,
did
he
you
was.
Know that? But why?
I think the league rule is if they're a captain, they're allowed to do that. But I thought because he was injured, he wasn't allowed on the field because he's not a coaching staff.
Wearing a uniform. He's not wearing the pads. How is he allowed to be on the field even during the
coin
toss?
So do you know what I think they need to do? Have you ever seen like the even soccer or football, you know, depending on where you're from, might be I know that we've got, you know, Owen in the live chat from the UK on what he sort of deems as football or not. But if you look at the round game, let's call it that, they have a box, you know, that the coach can stand in. Maybe that's where we need to go to, right? Maybe maybe that's where you go outside the box, whether you're a player or a coach. Like there's a penalty. And if you do it twice, you get ejected into the stand. Or, you know, I think we may need to consider these things because, I mean, look, as Steelers fans, Tomlin wouldn't have been able to trip up a certain individual. But, you know, we're not going to go there. But I don't know. And then Sean Manahan rightly also points out in the live chat, you know, they said during the Telegraph that every aspect of a player is reviewed during a replay. How could they miss that if they're not rigging games at the league level? But how did they not, you know, like with what happened with DK Metcalf? I mean,
like, that moment with DK Metcalf and the fumble when they had to review it was it. I don't think it's rigged, but they did give the Seahawks a better chance. And I guess we can all talk about this. This is a real hot topic because it's really crazy what happened. What should have happened is the fumble should have happened. The clock should have kept going. And I do agree that the play was struck off with 1 second. As soon as that happens, the play clock goes to 40 seconds and it counts down. And there is 35 seconds for you to run on and kick the field goal for the tie. And that should have happened. What happened was is they stopped the game and gave him a free timeout, looked at a nothing play and said, we need to review the catch. The bloke had the ball for like 40 seconds in his hands, then lost it. You had to, if you want to make it suspenseful, you just play the game. It was 1 second and there would have been 1 second left. And then you run the field goal guys on and it's so much pressure for the kicker, could miss it. Anything can happen or there could be an offsides. They didn't allow that. I couldn't believe my eyes what I was seeing. And I'm so glad we won because a lot of those times with the Green Bay game, with the refs throwing the flag that doesn't need to be there, we lose. So I was so glad to see it. But at the same time, refs, can the refs just stay out of the game? Can we watch a game where the refs aren't involved as much? Like you did not need to review that. How do they review that play? And they don't review the play with the the Rams. What was it 1 year? Who was it? The Rams versus Saints. It blows my mind.
What? How do they not review Jesse James catching that ball? I know they reviewed it lots of times and they got it wrong. How about, you know, Hayden being on the side with a certain, you know, like, I mean, just don't even. But I got to bring this up. I don't want to let it slip. Brian Brown in the live chat says, does anyone know if Cleveland is wearing the color rush turd burglar suits? I think Brian, like as a Steelers fan, he clearly also has an issue with the Browns because they make a mockery of his good name. So I agree with you. I don't know. But they look awful, those, as you say, poo suits. I don't understand that. But look, Mark, I think let's crack into Touchdown Under Ironheart Manly Awards as well. And so I know you're the one that's, you know, you're the record keeper for this one. You're the scorekeeper. So I wanted to crack into that and sort of see where we're at because even though we're not quite mid-season, it's a good time to review this in the bye. So if you're new to the show and I'm seeing some new names, you know, as well in the live chat, which is fantastic. Basically, we give a 3-2-1 each week, kind of like hockey, or there's a lot of other sports that do it. Three being obviously best performance, 2-1, and we only give it for the Steelers. And then also we do the Manly Award, which is named after our Manly Seagulls in Australia, which is the rugby league team that Mark and I support. And it's someone that does a heroic play on the field or does something that makes an impact that you don't necessarily put a point score to. We have our Coach of the Week as well, and we have our Dante Moncrief Dunce of the Week Award for a terrible player. Needless to say, that's often Benny Snell Jr. or Kello Witherspoon. but we'll see where that travels. Before it was Daniel McCullers, and that was before the award existed. But that's, you know, and then of course Dante Moncrief as well, as the name suggests. But Mark, let's. I'd love to hear an update on where we're sitting.
Oh, that was awesome. I need to clip that and just play that 1 minute spiel about our Ironheart Awards. That was great. Like, that was one of the best intros I've ever seen. So, yeah, we're going to go into the 3-2-1, and we'll start with you, Maddie. Who is your number three? And I think it might be the same person. I think the whole Steeler nation knows this is a number three player or three-point player. Who's your number three?
Yeah, so my number three is TJ Watt. You know, for me, and I know he's not your defensive MVP. I listened to Mark's bye week bonanza. So if you know, if you're looking for stuff to do when you're not being able to watch the game this week and you missed it, everyone in BTSC has done a bi-week bonanza podcast where we've given a bit of a, you know, updates on where we think the Steelers are heading in the season, which is interesting considering the show that Mark and I wanted to do today for you. But yeah, for me, it's TJ Watt. I mean, you know, you pay a guy $28 million a year, as I said in the Slack channel when he did it, you know, that's why you pay him when you pay someone to make, you know, massive plays in a tight game. He did that. And then he made the game winning play as well, you know, from that perspective. Lights out from TJ. Like, he's played 4.5 games and he's got seven sacks. His forced fumbles are like 3 or 4, you know, and you just saw it even in the run game. Like, just, he's just so fast off that line. And Jeffrey Benedict, in the last 24 hours was able to get a clip, of that analyze the clip where he gets that strip sack fumble and, you know, to win the game. And you look at it and the way the whole line shifted, there were 6 guys trying to get in his way and he still got through. There was an awesome play though when Chris Collinsworth called it out where TJ was getting blocked by 2 tight ends and he ripped through one and then the other guy stepped to get him and he ripped through him too, like basically just threw him out of the way. And Collinsworth was like, you know, I'm not going to try and do the accent, but he's I can do that now.
Yeah, here's a guy.
Here's a guy. I can't do the, you know, the putting 2 tight ends, but he literally pointed out and said, you're not putting 2 tight ends against TJ Watt ain't going to help you against the best defensive player in the league. And it's not. Like, I encourage every other team to continue to do that. We will be very impressed. Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. But, I mean, Mark, I think yours is probably TJ Watt too.
I'm the same. I'm very impressed with TJ, what he did throughout the whole game. But, you know, big moments, you know, calls for big players, really. Look, he played tremendous and he won the game for us. That sack near the end to force him to punt and then the other sack to get the forced fumble. And it's always exciting to see, like, you know, we had the sack force fumble and then Devin Bush picks it up and I'm like, come on, go to the end zone, go to the house. Really fun to see. TJ gets my 3 points. Tremendous player. Who's your number 2? I think we might vary different here. Who's your number 2 points?
Yeah, so I'm just making sure I get this right because I want to be representative of what I actually did. But yeah, that's Alex Highsmith for me. I think... The reason I say that too is it's easy to go, you know, look at the box score and he got, you know, his 1.5 sacks and his tackles for a loss and all the rest of it, you know. But for me and the 4 quarterback hits, I want to make sure I had those hits right. But for me, it's we needed him to step up and play and he did. He came back and did that. And so I almost put him in the Manly Award and I was going to say Cameron Haywood instead. But I think Cam, like we know what Cam is doing at this point in time. And I just think still for Highsmith, he started to work his way back into the lineup. This was the game that he had to perform. We needed everyone, you know, chipping in here with a like, and I said it in the Slack channel. I know the refs almost tried to, you know, make sure that we lost that game at the end there. And I'm happy to say that, like, I'm not going to get fined by the NFL. But
are you sure?
Yeah, they come after me.
Goodell's going to send that,
I'm going to start playing the NFL, the draft music. I'm going to start playing Super Bowl, like everything, the rest of it. But what I was going to say with Cameron Haywood is that, like, sorry, with Alex Highsmith, is that we needed everyone to step up because that was a very gutsy performance from the Seattle Seahawks. Like, if you're a Seahawks supporter, yeah, you'd be pretty happy that that was the showing that you did at Pittsburgh late game, Sunday night football, and what have you. So I think, as I say, for me, Highsmith stepping up, showing what he can do, he's terrific in the run game. Everyone was worried about what his run game, you know, would look like going into the season. That's the area he had to improve. And I think they said on Know Your Enemy this week, I've only caught snippets of it, but Jeffrey Benedict said his run defense is like in the top tier of the league at the position. So yeah, for me, Alex Highsmith, I just thought he played really well.
All right, that's a good pick because he got 2 sacks, right?
He had 1.5, but he had 4 quarterback hits and 2 tackles for a loss.
That's TJ stole the show, but that's a really good breakout game again for Highsmith. My two points is going towards DJ. Deontay Johnson, I think he played an outstanding game. Yes, he had 1 drop, but I just think he had an outstanding game. And there was the reason why I gave him 2 was pretty much it was the end around, right? That was this week that kind of sparked the offense. And he ran for, you know, ran past Jamal Adams. And, you know, also the catch near the sideline where he beat like cover 2 or cover 3 or whatever it is. And he was like just a perfect throw from Big Ben. And DJ is stepping up into that role now. And you asked me last week, you know, what is it, DJ versus Claypool? Yeah. And this game was DJ. And we needed him in this offense. I just think he's playing tremendously good football. So hopefully he can continue that. And like I said last week too, DJ has got a number on his locker, number 12, saying the amount of drops. So he's really focused. He's really buying into this team. And I hope that he can continue to get touchdowns. And there was the other pass from Big Ben that was a bit shorter, and he couldn't get back to the. It could have been another touchdown.
Yeah,
but they're gonna work on things, and I can, you know, coming to the Browns game too, I could see them, you know, pass to him 10 times, and he might get you 90 yards and a touchdown. Lastly, who's our number one? Who's the number one point for you, Maddie?
So this is probably a surprise. I'd Chris Boswell. Right. So I'm sure he's not on anyone's radar, but I mean, to me, he kicked two field goals. He's clutch under pressure. I don't think Boswell gets enough recognition. You know, I know he had that poor season. And what was it? Was it 2018, 2019? 2018, I think it was, because 2019 was pretty integral. They stuck with him. He's performing. I mean, apart from Tucker, he's probably arguably the best kicker in the league. And I just think if you're going to be clutch like that, like, that's the sort of game we could have lost if he hadn't have turned up, right? And, you know, he kicked the field goal, and then we kicked off to him, and then, you know, where the defense is able to hold it. Like, that's all you needed. So, you know, he does everything, you know, you can ask for, of him. And, I just think that deserves some recognition from time to time.
Well, he kicked two winning field goals, really.
Technically.
He kicked the 20-17, and we should have won. Yes, they ran down the field, and they got that extra play to go to overtime. And then he kicked another one. I think it was like 51-yarder. And then
53, I think it was.
Yeah, and the 35, the game winner, that was right down the guts. Like, that was just beautiful to see. Just have confidence in your kicker. And around the league now, there's so many missed field goals. And like you said, Tucker and Boswell might be the best two. And Boswell's percentage, I think, is still up there, about 89%. He had a really bad year. But what do? It happens. Like, I'd give him a point. I was going to, but I had to give, like, my number one point this week. And I want to hear your thoughts too, because mine is just like, I only see what I can try and figure out in my little football brain here, but mine's Trey Turner. I had to give the guy a point because I just like the way he was. This sounds funny. Maybe he was the only guy that I could pick out of the lineup because he was wearing the white gloves on his hands. So it was easy to spot, but he is dominating the line. Like, he's pushing some of these players backwards. He's giving Ben time in this game. And I thought he played some really good football. And in the run game too, if he can get to the second line and maybe get on the linebacker, we have to see Najee's going to crack one soon. I keep saying it, but he has to crack one soon for 40, 50 yards. And it's going to come down to Turner, Dotson, those kind of guys. What do you think of Trey Turner's play?
Yeah, so I was saying this to you. Mark looked like the blowing mind emoji when I said what I'm about to say, you know, right before we went on air. But I said to him, like, I think that you've seen in the Broncos game and you saw more in the Seahawks game, there's clips after when they've scored or made a big play. And Trey Turner and Ben are like high-fiving and hugging. Now, that's not unique to them. And I'm not saying it's exactly the same thing. I'm just saying, you know, that there's a gap there for Ben, and that is he doesn't have Pouncey anymore. I kind of feel like Turner's being a bit of a, you know, Pouncey light for Ben. He's the veteran on that O-line. You know, it clearly means something to Turner when they make a play or he protects Ben, or, you know, they make that gain. And I don't know. It's just really good to see. And I think Turner in the last couple of weeks has actually showed up. And I really think that's important, you know, going into potentially even next year as well. And it just, you know, gives us someone that a bit more reliable. He doesn't have to be the best guard in the world. We've got Dotson, who's developing. You know, obviously Dan Moore Jr. needs to work on the pass block, but the run side is good. And when you say cracking it for a big one, Mark, I mean, you know, I did have Kendrick Green in there originally as my Manly award. And then I moved it to Turner, who you've got as the one point. I loved one of the run blocks that Green gave, and they cut back to that during the broadcast as well. And they showed him just driving back and it opening up a hole. I think Najee on that particular play I'm talking about, you know, got 6 or 7 yards. But all I say was with Turner is that, like, you get Banner back on that side. Jeez, I mean, I feel like Turner and Banner can open up the hole that's needed for Najee to crack that one. I still don't know whether Najee's got it in him this season behind that O-line to crack 40-plus, but I can see a few more 25 to 30-yarder, you know gains at times as well. So it's exciting.
Yeah, well, it's with Trey Turner too. He's like chipping his guy. And if you watch again that last week's game, he's chipping the defensive guy. Then he's helping out Green. He's coming on the side to help out Green too, which gives more time in the pocket. And I just think he's really stepped it up from what I saw. So with the whole total, after the 6 weeks into the bye, our leader on number one is TJ with 20 points. And second, or tie, second points there, or tie first, is Harris on 20. Next in line is DJ on 15 points, which is really having a go. And then our mate Haywood. I think some people, it's just you and I doing it now, but we aren't choosing Haywood just because he's just that guy. So he's on 14 points. And then last, we have Sutton for 8 points, but he was missing for, you know, a few games. So all in all, it's the TJ and Harris show. We've got to keep going on with them. Jumping into the Manly Award, Matty, who's your Manly guy?
Yeah, so I kind of alluded to it there, but it's Trey Turner. I just think he manned up in that game kind of thing. And I think we needed that from him. And, you know, as I say, I think my biggest one, you know, not necessarily whether he could get back to the level of play for the Carolina Panthers, although great that would be. I knew that he'd be better than what he was for the Chargers. But I wanted to see him buy into the team. Because, like, I wondered whether when he left the Panthers, whether he was starting to feel a bit disengaged from things. And, you know, I follow him on Instagram and he's not out there doing, you know, crazy, crazy stuff or anything like it. Like, he does seem like he's pretty down to business at the end of the day. So, I mean, people have to show some personality. And so, for me, as I say, like, this, you know, clear rapport with Ben and the rest of the offense and the mentoring role he's playing. And, you know, I know there was the spitting saga and all the rest of it, but the way he handled that even, and Tomlin was like, I don't even have to talk to him. He knows he did the wrong thing, da-da-da-da-da. Like, for me, I just think Turner's manning up. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know you've done wrong and you turn it around and say, okay, look, like, I actually forgot about the spitting thing, but that shouldn't be a topical point of, like, for the whole year. You stuffed up, you go apologize and you move on, or you just move on with what happened. Turner's playing for the last few games. I would love to see him, what he does with the Browns game, with the rival game. That will be interesting to see how his mentality, physicality in that respect.
Yeah.
And speaking of physicality, I got my Manly Award this week. Trey Turner, and you might be able to help me out on how big he is compared to DK Metcalf. Trey Turner chopped DK Metcalf in half on one of those.
Trey Turner or Trey Norwood?
Oh, oh no! Did I say Trey Turner?
Yeah, you kept saying it. I'm like, I'm gonna let you dig yourself this hole.
What a blunder! What a blunder! Trey Norwood cut DK Metcalf in half. Half, whatever. Did you see that play?
I did.
Amazing. Yeah. For me,
he had a good game. David said that in the live chat as well. Like, it's hard not to give him points. But for me, I've given Trey, for me, like, the my thinking is I've given Trey Norwood a lot of, you know, grace or extra credit thus far through the season. And I gave it on the bye bonanza as, you know, the defensive biggest surprise of the team. So you missed out on the points this week.
That's fine, but he gets the Manly Award because honestly, that was he had turnover on downs. He was affecting the play three times. And DK Metcalf is a big bloke. He's like 130 kilos, 6 foot something. And I think about Trey Norwood. I'm going to get his name right now. I'm getting confused. He's about 30 kilos. I don't know what the pounds is, but he's not the same size as
Metcalf. No, he's 194. 4 pounds according to Pro Football Reference and 6 foot.
Yeah, and he cut him in half, and he's becoming that player of, like, not that we need to rely on him, but he's surprising us and saying, wow, like, who is this guy Norwood? He's really having a dig. Like, he's having a go. Like, on some of these, like, pass downs, when he's getting involved in the, you know, deflections, I can see him picking off one soon. He is playing some really good football. Who's going to be your coach of the week?
Keith Butler. I just think the whole defense was humming. The outside linebackers were humming, and to win a game like that and to win with the impact that we had on the defense.
But Maddie, some people were saying it was a win, but you know, it felt like a loss. How can they be humming if it felt like a loss and we still won?
Who said it felt like a loss?
Just some other podcasters out there. I ain't going to say any names.
Okay. Well, I would say if they listen to our show, I'm not sure whether they do, or people that listen to our show and listen to their show, I don't know who you're talking about. But I would say, and actually I think I might, and they also like attacked the rookie O-line a couple of weeks back for penalties, and I'm like, come on, they're rookies. Like, they actually have had about a half the penalties you could have expected them to have, if not a third of the penalties that you could have expected them to have. And so, you know, if I would say to that, the only reason it might have felt like a loss is because the league tried everything in its power, you know, to make it feel like a loss, but it didn't. So, you know, it's not. The Steelers are 3-3. And, you know, I know exactly who you're talking about now, the way you said that. So I think they need to get with the program and actually maybe watch Steelers games, not just maybe pretend to watch them.
Just cheer and support and have a bit of a go. Look, this was a great win for us, and I agree. Like, the defense was great, but this wasn't the best win ever. Let's put it that way. But it was a solid victory, and we went there for our players: TJ Watt, DJ, Trey Turner. For me, my coach was before we go into a dunce and then our break, my coach was I think it's Alfredo Roberts, the tight end coach.
Yep.
Just because these tight ends are playing exactly what you want them to do. They're catching the ball on third down. They're getting first downs. Do you agree with that?
Well, the only reason I wouldn't say it is that he needs to yell more at Canada to get Freemuth into the offense more. So for me, Alfredo Roberts, the job's not done yet, mate. We need to see more out of, you know, Pat Freemuth. And then look, I want to get let's get to the dunce of the week and then quickly get through Sling and the Slang, and then we can
with the dunce, who are you going to be yelling at in this team?
Snell. It's a snail. It's a snail. It's just a waste of time. Get rid of this guy, please, when Anthony McFarlane comes back. Don't get rid of Ballage.
I did feel bad, though, on that tackle he made where his arm looked like it was almost dislocated, but he was still in the game. Something happened to his arm. I don't know if it
did. I don't want people to get injured, but at the same time, like, I mean, it would have helped just to put him on IR.
Snell is needs.
I feel really bad saying that, but it's just
there's some upside. We need Snell to do something. My dunce this week, and I really want your opinion too. I was thinking about this last night. My dunce is Schobert. Is Schobert even in this game? Is Schobert playing? Like, every time I predicted last week Alex Collins to go less than 60 yards, and he ran down the field in 75 yards. Every single play in that big drive after the first half, Schobert was not in the play. He was taken out of the play. He was nowhere near the football. He wasn't, he's not run stopping. He's not doing much. I didn't see Schobert do anything in this game that helped for the win.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard with Schobert. Like, it's hard to work it out. I mean, he had like one tackle. That's a game you expect him in some linebacker. The problem with Schobert for me is they traded there. Obviously, they didn't know and wanted to give Denny. I'm looking at someone yelling Snell in the live show. They're looking to give Devin Bush some, you know, relief there if he needed it, ability to work his way back from an injury. George Teston's brought up Ingram in the live chat. If Schobert's not going to rock up, I think they need to put Ingram in there more, or blood Buddy Johnson a bit more. You're seeing more from Spillane on third down, but I don't know whether Schobert's having trouble adjusting to the defense. But to me, that's becoming a hole again. Like, I'm very, very happy to see Devin Bush rush the quarterback more. Remember I said that going into the season, that was what I wanted once you got past the bye week, and we've had it there. But at the moment, unless they're going to put Schobert on the run, and I don't think Schobert's on the run, I think he's better in coverage, and that's why they're putting it there. But like, you don't have the yin and yang for Bush right now. Like, you don't have someone that's there to support him. Like, he can't do everything on that field. And I don't know. Like, he's got to pick it up. I think he can. I don't think it's like, oh my gosh, Joe Schobert's going to be a Dante Moncrief dunce of the week, you know, anytime soon. But down the stretch, like, this has got to improve, or he's going to become a rotational player. Well, you don't trade for a rotational player like that. Like,
he's my dunce of the week. That's why I brought him up.
I know, but I find that hard. Like,
my big reason why he's my dunce of the week is because he's in Owen David from YouTube land says here, Mike and Maddie, is Schobert better than Spillane? And at the moment, I'm from the 50-50 because Schobert isn't showing any physicality. If you got one tackle the whole game, you're an inside linebacker. I need you to be in every single play. I need you to run around the field.
You don't know what they're scheming. All I say is you don't know what they're scheming, and you don't, like, I think as great as Haywood's playing, I think we're giving the defensive line, it's overlooked at the moment, just how challenging it is for the defensive line. And Alex Collins isn't the worst running back out there. Like, I thought the defense played poorly, but I don't know with Schobert. Jury's still out for me on him, but it's starting to worry me. Let's just put it that way.
I think he's scheming, you know, standing around half 2-3 yards away from the football until someone else makes a play. I just didn't like the way he played this week, and you got to get involved. And then one play I saw was Spillane, you know, they made a big run, but he made a big physical tackle. I think you just need that as an inside linebacker. And yes, he's very new. I understand that. But I had to give it to someone, and I knew you were going to choose Snell.
You didn't choose Snell. I think I actually put Snail in and an auto-corrected me into our little sheet.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, but with that, that wraps up this week's Steelers Touchdown Under Part 1. Join us for Part 2. We are going to do Sling and the Slang. We're going to do some audience Q&A, so get your questions ready for all those listening live. And we're also going to predict what the rest of the Steelers' record could look like this season. Now we've had a chance to see 6 games. If you're on the live side right now, if you're on YouTube or Facebook, just hold on for a couple of seconds and we'll be right back.